Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter number 1, last week we talked about the purpose of why God allowed him to pen these words, the words that he wrote. And we know Paul himself is trying to strengthen and encourage the church. But why did God give Paul these words to write? The purpose for these words that he's given here to write. And we found out that it was to reveal God's purpose for the whole world. To reveal God's purpose for the whole world. God had a plan. He has a plan for the world. And everybody that's in this world, he has a plan. And we find that he's trying to reveal that through Paul in writing to the church here at Ephesus. We see here that God has shown his purpose to the world. How? How has God shown his purpose for the world today? He's shown it through his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's purpose is for the world, the people in the world, to be saved, right? He wants everybody to be saved. And he displayed that through his Son and his death on the cross. His life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we see in God's Son the purpose that God had for the world. God, when he ever created man, put him in the Garden of Eden, gave him a wife, he wanted him to be that way forever. But man disobeyed God. Man sinned. And therefore God had a plan to reconcile God, man, back to him and to forgive him. And we see that. Now, God had a plan. God's purpose is, again, to reveal the world about his Son. And also we see that God today, how is God today revealing his purpose through? To the world. He's revealing it through the church. And if you're a saved, born-again child of God today, you are part of the church. You're the part of the body of Christ. And God is using the church today to reveal to this lost world his plan. His plan. And you and I have the privilege to be part of that plan and to share in the good news that people can be saved if they trust Christ as their Savior. Because God loves everybody. I'm glad he does. I'm glad he loves the whole world. He does. Paul is writing here again to encourage the church to walk in a spirit of unity. Unity, one accord. Stay this way, that you might be the example before the world that you ought to be. I'm afraid the other day the church is strayed in many situations from what it ought to be. May the Lord help us to look at this church as Paul is writing here and helping us to see what he's doing. We see here, again, he's dealing with the eternal plan of God. Paul is, as he writes, the eternal plan of God for the world and for the Christian. And also, he's showing here the great blessings of God upon those that trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Folks, it's a blessing to be a Christian. It's a blessing to be a Christian. Not just the fact that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. That's icing on the cake, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to be a Christian. And we're going to talk about some of those blessings today as we look at the Word of God. We talked about the call of God upon Paul last week. How God called him. He called him to be an apostle. He called him to be an apostle in verse 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 1. Apostle is one that is sent forth on a mission. And this is what God designed Paul to do. And we know that mission was by God's will, as he would be a messenger of Jesus Christ and go about sharing the world, telling the world about Jesus Christ, and he's the Savior of all mankind. Now, we know that, again, God's call was very important. We also see not only was he to be an epistle, but it was God's will for him to do that. That was God's call to Paul. We talked about God's call to the church. God's call also to the church and to the believers. How we're to be saints. We're to be saints and we're to be faithful saints to God's house. And also that by doing that, we receive peace and grace from God when we are obedient to him in obeying his word. So we got to that point last week. Again, the church of the living God. We want to look at it today, what it's like. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, look at verse number 22 and verse 23 as we begin our reading today. Then we're going to have prayer and get into some more specifics about the church of the living God today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. We read it last week. Look at it with me today. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the what? Church. Verse 23, which is his what? Body. The church is his body, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body of Christ, the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, Lord, and you using him to pen these words, Lord, to this church, and Lord, to us also. Lord, that we might be strengthened, that we might be encouraged as your children today. Lord, truly, as we look around the world, we see the things that are happening. Lord, if it were not for you, God, we would have no hope. But thanks be to God for his unsearchable gift, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know we have hope. There's hope, not maybe in this world, but in the world to come. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, bless now our time together. Thank you for our visitors. I pray the Word of God would have its will and way in our hearts and lives, and may the Spirit of God take it and help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we find here, again, in this verse, the church of the living God is likened to a body. A body. Jesus Christ is not here today on earth, but we are as his body. We're to represent him. We are ambassadors, if you please, for the Lord Jesus Christ while we're here. And we are, our lives is to be according to that. Now, we talked about last week, verses 3 through 7, how the church of the living God was planned by the Father. And verse 4 tells us that he planned it before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. God, knowing all things, knowing mankind, he knew that mankind was going to sin when he created man and put him in the Garden of Eden. So therefore, God had a plan. And his plan was to raise up a church to represent him and for the purpose of telling people about him. So he had a plan, and it happened before the foundation of the world. Now, look at verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. We notice something else here. We notice that the church of the living God, this is our subject, what is it like? The church of the living God. We notice in verse number 7 through verse number 12, we find here it was bought and purchased by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. I like that, don't you? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What? Nothing but the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, that makes it possible for us to be forgiven. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Notice the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace. See, he forgives us of our sins. I'm thankful today to know that we have a Savior that forgives sin. He forgives our sins. We see this. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We see here the blessings of God. The blessings of God here in these verses, in verses 7 through 12. in verses, actually 3 through 12, and we're going to look at that this morning here as we look at it. So we find here the blessings of the Father. The blessings of the Father. Now, when we look at the blessings of the Father, we're talking about God as Father, not as Creator. Now, God is the Creator of all things and everybody. But God is Father to only those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior and have trusted Him. He's our Father. He's our Father. And we approach Him as our Father. And I want us to look this morning here at the blessings we have as a Christian. As a Christian. I'm talking about spiritual blessings, folks. Not temporary blessings or material blessings. I'm talking about spiritual blessings that we have as children of God. We find here in this passage of Scripture here, the spiritual blessings that are ours, simply because, not simply, but only because that we are in Christ. Only because we're in Christ. If we were not in Christ, we would not have these blessings. But in Christ, we have these blessings. We see each person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are involved in far as blessing those that trusted Christ as their Savior. We see that in this passage of Scripture right here. So we see, we're looking at the blessings from the Father. The blessings from the Father. Look in verse 3 and verse 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us." Notice, with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings in verse 4 says, according as He hath what? Chosen who? Us. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation. Now, He has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So we see here, first of all, the blessing from the Father to us as His children. He has chosen us. He has chosen us. Now, God didn't look down upon the earth and say, "Okay, Keith, I'm going to choose you to be a child of my child." No, He didn't do that. He looked through His Son to me. He has chosen me in Christ only. There's nothing good about me. There's nothing good about any one of us. It's only the righteousness of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to be called children of God and be children of God. So He has chosen us. He has chosen us in Christ, not in ourselves. He has chosen us in Christ by grace. By grace. By the mercy of God, He has chosen me, He has chosen you to be a child of God. Listen. What a blessing it is, I think, that sometimes we take for granted for the fact that we have the opportunity, somebody in our life, somewhere or another, shared with us the gospel, shared with us the Word of God. And the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, began to deal with our hearts and our lives and help us to see our need to be saved. And because of our calling upon the Lord and trusting Christ as our Savior, we are children of God. See, He's chosen us to be His children. He's chosen us. Now, He's chosen everybody, but everybody has not received. You have to receive Christ by faith in order to be His chosen child of God. So we see, first of all, He has chosen us. Now, look in verse number 5. Not only has He chosen us, but look at verse number 5. Having predestinated us into the what? Adoption of children. Adoption of children by Christ, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not only has He chosen us, but He has adopted us as children of God. He's adopted us. The youngest Christian today has everything in Christ. You know that? The youngest Christian today, the person that gets saved today, and I hope there are people that get saved today, has everything in Christ just like you and I do. He's adopted us. He's adopted us into His family. The blessings of the Father that He bestows upon His children. Look at it, folks. He's chosen us. He's adopted us. Not only that, we see another one in verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, to the praise, verse number 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us what? Accepted in the beloved. He's accepted us. Can you imagine God accepting me as a lost sinner? Undone? Undeserving? His grace, I don't deserve anything. I deserve hell, folks. Literally, I do. But He has accepted us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, it's just plain and simple. If it were not for Jesus Christ, we would be nothing. We would have nothing. But thanks be to God for His Son, Jesus Christ, who's made it possible. Made it possible for us to be chosen, for us to be adopted, and for us to be accepted by the Father. By the Father. Now notice the blessings from the Son. The blessings from the Son, beginning in verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Again, here we have, He has redeemed us. Jesus Christ gave His life. He came and died on Calvary for you and I. He gave His life. He purchased us from the slavery of sin, if you please. We were bound in sin. Presently, today, He has delivered us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. But thank God, one day He will deliver us from the very presence of sin. We'll live in a place where there will be no sin. We find here the blessings from the Son. He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. He paid the price for you and I, that you and I could be forgiven of our sins through His shed blood on Calvary. Number two, we see He has forgiven us in the latter part of verse 7. He has forgiven us. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Forgiveness. Forgiven means to send away. To send away. I like the verse in the Bible says that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are buried in the deepest sea. You know, our sins are forgiven. And when God forgives, He forgets. Amen? Sometimes we may forgive, but we don't forget. But Jesus Christ, when He forgives, He forgets. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. Christ carried the burden of the cross for me. He carried the burden of the cross for you. He paid that debt. I'm glad today to know that the blessings from the Son is the fact that He has redeemed me. He has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. Notice something else from the Son in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We find here in this verse that He has revealed God's will to us. He's giving us understanding. He's giving us wisdom as His children. Jesus Christ has. We're part of God's eternal purpose, folks. As a child of God, we're part of His eternal purpose in our life as we live here together. All things are in Christ. All things are in Christ. One day, God will usher in a new creation with all things in Christ. But until then, we are all together working in the eternal purpose of God. God has revealed, He has revealed God's plan, will to us, that is, the Son has. We're His representatives here on this earth. Also, we see in verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together, there He is, in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. There's the gathering we talked about. Now, God is going to usher in a new creation with all things in Christ. All things will be in Christ one day. One day. We also see in verse number 11 and verse number 12, some more blessings from the Son. These are blessings as a Christian. You know, when we count our blessings, we need to consider these things. These things. Not things in this life. Not temporal things, but eternal things. Spiritual things. These are the blessings from the Father. and the blessings from the Son that He has allowed us to have even here in this life. He has redeemed us. He's forgiven us. He has given us an inheritance. Now look at verse number 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." We see here that God has not only given us an inheritance in Christ, but we are an inheritance as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice our inheritance. 1 Peter and chapter 1, look at verse 3 and 4. This is an inheritance that we have. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. The Bible says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." We have an inheritance in heaven, folks, as God's children, awaiting us. We have an inheritance awaiting us. But over here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing here, he's talking about how Jesus Christ has made us an inheritance for Christ. The church, the bride, the body of Christ. We are the inheritance here for Him. So we find the blessings from the Father, blessings from the Son. And now we also see in this same passage the blessings from the Holy Spirit of God, the Godhead. Each person has blessed us as children of God. Notice he says in verse number 13, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I'm thankful for the gospel, aren't you? I'm thankful that I had the privilege to hear the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. He loved me enough to die for me. Not only did He die, but He was buried and He rose the third day. He says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth." See, you have to hear the word of God to become a child of God. It's the word of God through the Spirit of God that convicts and draws us to reality of who we are. The gospel of your salvation, to whom after that you believed, after you became a child of God, after that you believed, notice, you were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm glad today to know that the Holy Spirit has sealed us. He has sealed us. It's final. It's final. Once and for all, the sinner hears the word of truth. He trusts in Christ and he receives the Holy Spirit. And he's sealed. How long? Forever. Forever. The transaction is complete. It's complete in Him. It's complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can break God's seal, folks. Nobody can break God's seal. So we find the blessing from the Spirit is that He has sealed us. He has sealed us. Now, how do we know there's a seal? Look at verse 14. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." See, what is an earnest? An earnest is something of value given as a down payment for a purchased possession. That's an earnest. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So what are we saying here? We're saying here that He has given us an earnest, the Holy Spirit of God. He sealed us by the Spirit of God and given us an earnest. That means a down payment, folks. in business transaction. It's a down payment for the purchase of something in the future. And we find here God has given us His Spirit as a down payment to seal the fact, the transaction, that we are children of God. How do I know I'm a child of God? God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm His child. Romans 8:16 tells us that. See, I'm purchased. You're purchased as a child of God today by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has used His Holy Spirit to give an earnest and to seal you and to assure you that you are a child of God. Now, if you're a child of God today, God's Spirit lives within you. He is within you and He will always be within you until God calls you home. And then this body will certainly be separated here. But we find here, this is to assure us that we've experienced total redemption and received God's promised blessings in glory, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful today for the Spirit of God that lives within the children of God to assure us and give us the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding to know that we are His child and we will be His child forever. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us because we've been sealed by the Spirit of God that lives within us. And there's nothing in this world that's going to lead me any other way. I know I'm a child of God because of His Spirit that indwells me. I'm thankful that God has given us that assurance, folks. I talk to people sometimes, and you do too, as you witness, and they don't know they're saved. They don't think they can know they're saved. Well, I'm sorry. That's sad that they think that way. Because it's assurance. God gives us the Holy Spirit right here as an earnest, as a down payment to reassure us that we know that we're saved and we're God's children. And notice, why does the Father, the Son, and the Spirit give us these blessings? Why does He give us these blessings? Notice in verse number 6, He tells us, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why. Verse number 12 tells us that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. He gives us this assurance for the praise of His glory. Now look also in verse number 14, the latter part of verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the what? Praise of His glory. The praise of His glory. That's why we have been given these blessings. To know that I'm a child of God. To know that I've been chosen. I've been accepted. All these things we talked about. I've been forgiven. To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Folks, listen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Amen. It's all about Him. And to His praise and to His glory has He revealed to us the fact that we can know that we are His children. We're the body of Christ. We're the church of the living God. You know? And this is what it's like, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today for that. Now, I wanted to share this with you. We've been talking about the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I talk about God's blessings are spiritual and heavenly. Okay? They are not material. They're not material blessings. Before Christ, in the Old Testament, we found that God blessed people with material things. Look at Abraham. Look at how God blessed him. Israel, how God blessed Israel. The shame was that Israel, they misused the material blessings. They isolated themselves and claimed superiority over all nations of the world because of the material blessings that Christ, God blessed them with. But notice, since Jesus Christ has come, since He came and died, we find that now God blesses His people with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. We've been talking about them already this morning, what they are. Spiritual blessings are so important. God deals with men spiritually now. He blesses him with spiritual blessings. Now, spiritual blessings are of the Spirit of God. In the Spirit Himself controls man and circumstances around him. If my spirit is strong, I'm able to deal with the circumstances that I have to face in my life. But if my spirit is weak, I'm going to waller in self-pity and all kinds of things in my life. So we see the spiritual blessings are of the Spirit. God's blessings are spiritual. That's what enables a person to control his life. To control his life. If I walk in the Spirit, the Bible tells me I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? You stay in the Word of God. You read the Word of God. And you ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to you the truths that you need in your life every day. Every day. We see God, the spiritual blessings are the opposite of temporary blessings. The very opposite. These blessings are given to the inner man. The inner man. Spiritual blessings. To strengthen the inner person that we have. We see spiritual blessings are superior to material blessings. They're much better than material blessings. We see here, spiritual blessings are permanent. They're perfect. They're perfect. And they will last forever. Spiritual blessings will last forever. We see that they can be experienced upon this earth, and also they can be experienced in heaven. The spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. Remember? He's chosen us. He's forgiven us. All these things we talked about this morning. Spiritual blessings are only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're found in Him. Because of Him, we have the blessings. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all have blessed us with spiritual blessings. See, God dealt with man in the past with material blessings. First, to teach us something. To teach us something. We see that an earthly inheritance does not last, does it? No matter what you inherit in this earth, it will not last. It's going to do one of two things. Number one, it's going to deteriorate, or it's going to be passed on to somebody else. One or the other. One or the other. So they do not last. Material inheritance cannot bring peace and security. Not real peace, not real security. Someone says, you know, we don't in this world actually own anything. We don't. If you have a house, you have land, whatever you have, you still pay taxes on it, don't you? You pay taxes on it as long as you live. You don't really own it. You don't really own it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All of it belongs to Him. He's lent it to us to be able to live and to go about and have our being, but material inheritance cannot bring peace and security. But you know, mankind, we have within us an inner being that is selfish and greedy sometimes. You know, we do. Man, we have the tendency. Mankind has the tendency to seek the material and to neglect the spiritual. And to neglect the spiritual. Now, why is that? Why is that? Oh, may the Lord help us today to realize God's blessings are more important than material blessings. Let's focus on what God has done for us. How He's saved us. Look what God's done. Look what Jesus has done. Look what the Spirit of God has done. How we've been blessed by the Godhead as part of the church. The church of the living God. The church of the living God. We've been blessed, folks. We really have. And what a privilege it is to be a member of God's family. God's family. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the blessings that You have bestowed upon us as Your children. We're thankful for the Spirit of God. Thankful for the Son of God. All who have shared in the blessings upon us as your children. Lord, help us to be reminded of that, not get caught up in the things of this world, Lord, that it is going to all be destroyed one day. We thank you for the church of the living God and what it's like. Lord, we are a body. God, help us to realize that. And as we labor together for the cause of Christ, Lord, may you use us, Lord, to point others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless the singing. Bless the specials. Lord, bless our pastor. God, as he brings the Word of God to us today, if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray they might trust Christ today and be saved. God, most of all, may you be honored. Thank you for our visitors today, and I pray you bless them as they visit with their loved ones and friends or just here for the day. I pray you help them today to have a good day in your house with us. We want to thank you, dear God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.